Luke 2:52 talks about living in the favor of God, the fog. If we're going to live in a fog, let's live in that, the favor of God. In the favor of God, then it doesn't matter whether we can see or not. Even when we don't see it, He's working. You know, He's amazing in every way, and so we're just grateful, and we're in a season now of the world catching on and celebrating the birth of Christ, and sometimes we have to catch on too. Maybe often we have to catch on and consider Christ. Now, you can read your Bible every day and not consider Christ. You can spend hours asking for what you want and not really consider Christ, because if we consider Him, it changes everything. When I look at Simeon, you know, in Luke 2:26, it says that it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And when I first read that, I thought, now, what would I be thinking if the Lord spoke directly to me and said that Jesus would return before I die? Would that change my life? I would think so, but at the same time, we sort of know that He could return at any time. And so, would it make that much difference? Well, it would shorten up the time frame for even if I lived healthily and if I lived as old as the oldest person in my family, that would mean in about 30 years, it would only be 30 more years till Jesus came. But then a person could become like one of the kings that said, you know, when the prophet told him, well, that it was going to be a mess for his kids, he said, oh, that's good, it's going to be peaceful while I'm here. That's not a good attitude either. And I'm thankful that the Lord didn't tell me, Roger, I'm coming back before you die. But I also thought, you know, who's He waiting for? Because He said that He's not slack in His promises. And Peter says, look, the Lord's not slack in His promises. He's just patient because He doesn't want anyone to perish. And so I thought, well, who is He waiting for? And then I thought, boy, I'm really glad He waited for me. You know, there were generations of Christians, you know, while I was getting to come to know the Lord, that were praying, God, come quickly. Just get this over with, you know. And I'm sure glad they didn't get their prayer answered, because I'd have been over with. And so, you know, who is he waiting for? Well, that's something for us to consider in our life as we go through our lives. Who's God waiting for? Maybe He's waiting for that person. Maybe He's waiting for us, waiting for that person ahead of us in the fog. Maybe that person, maybe, can our prayer make a difference for that person? Sure it can. But do we think about that? You know, and there's a lot of things, just simple things, that we need to consider, just because it's good to consider the things of God. It's good to, because I'm on the road a lot, you know, I pray in the daytime, you know, but I don't see many deer in the daytime. But at night, you know, I always say, Lord, you know, I'm thanking Him for deer in the fields. You know, I tell you that. I talk about them in the fields. And on Friday night when I was coming home from the prison, there was one who managed to step up on the offside of a ditch. He was standing there, and when he saw me, it looked like he was as surprised as I was, just like, oh, I shouldn't be here. You know, you have these imaginations. I imagined that an angel jerked his chain and he took off. But then I began to pray for the people behind me that he wouldn't get up and get in front of them, you know. So then I thanked the Lord that all those people are safe because we're out there. It's just like I always, when I flew a lot or when I do fly still, I thank the Lord that everybody on the plane is going to be safe because I'm there, you know. Because they trust the Lord, you know. I mean, there's other people praying too, and there's other people that care too, but I want to give Him credit for what He does for me. I want to consider that He's my God. He's my personal Savior. I do live in the favor of God, but I wish I could say that I just constantly, you know, went on that rail, but I don't. I have to catch myself and correct myself and redirect myself. I mean, you do have to punch off the cruise control once in a while. You know, we need to, because our lives can get on cruise control. What we've got to do, you know. Last night I went to get mother situated for bed, and I couldn't get in her house because a door latch that I just fixed was not working. I don't know. So, but praise the Lord, I walked around, got around the back, and came in the front, and I could open it from the front. So now we're good. And so I thought that I had it fixed. And so I went back over there this morning thinking I could go in the front. I didn't have it fixed. And so I got some duct tape, and I was going to fix it. And then I took a look at it, and while she was getting her pills taken, I fixed it again. Now, I hope it's going to be fixed for Vicki when Vicki goes over there this afternoon. I'm going to get a new handle for that. I think I have it fixed. I think I see the problem. But you know what? When that thing won't open, it's a problem. Even if I think I can fix it. Sometimes there are things in our lives that don't seem to be opening. Sometimes there are things that just doesn't seem, and we can become convinced that they'll never work out, you know? And because I've already fixed that door once, I thought I could figure out how to fix it again if I could just get it open. But the first time that happened to me, I thought, I'm going to have to cut this door out and put in a new door. I don't have time for putting in a new door. I'll just use the back door. But because I was confident that I could, then I could. I'd done it before. Well, you see, we have to have confidence in God. And the only way that we'll see the fruit of that confidence is by putting that confidence there. Because if we put our confidence, if we put our trust in the Lord, and we see the outcome for putting our trust in the Lord, then guess who gets the praise? And guess who gets the honor? And guess who gets the glory? See, there were people on the highway, drove in the fog, and they maybe never gave God one bit of praise. Maybe never prayed. Maybe never considered that God got them through. People can go to church their whole lives and never consider that God got them through. See, He wants us to acknowledge Him. He's worthy to receive our praise so we can give Him praise. You'll never praise Him wrongly. You'll never give Him credit for something that He doesn't deserve credit for. We can brag on Him and there won't be anything wrong with that. See, Simeon looked at that baby and said, "Now I can die in peace." Now, how long before that day had God told him, "You aren't going to die before you see the Lord's Messiah"? And why did God tell him that? Imagine that he was seeking the Lord. Imagine he was crying out to the Lord. Imagine he was maybe a generation where he was raised by a father that said, "The Messiah is going to come." You know, whatever the case might be. But ultimately, God told him, "Simeon, you'll see him before you die." And so that day, when the Holy Spirit drew him to the temple, he went to the temple. And he'd probably been to the temple many times thinking this could be the day. But this day was the day. And he said, "Now I've seen him, now I can die in peace." You know, when we finally once see Jesus, we sort of die in peace. Because we once were dead in sin, but now we've come to the peace of God that passes understanding. And so once we've come to that, then the Lord says, "Dwell in me. I will dwell in you." And it's a new life. And if it's a new life, then it's a new life. It's a new way of looking at things. It's a new way of expecting things. It's a new way. And we should come to Him expecting to receive from Him everything that He's promised. See, because if we don't expect that, then we sell Him short. That He probably can't do that. Or, well, the Lord shouldn't have to do everything. Or, there are things that I can just handle by myself. Well, there might be some things we can handle a little bit by ourselves, but we can handle them better with Him. When the door doesn't open, the first thing I say is, Lord, help me figure this out. I don't have as much time. I don't have as much time on Sunday morning as I do on Saturday afternoon. But on Saturday afternoon, I need His help too. On Friday and on Thursday and on Wednesday and on Tuesday and on Monday and on Sunday, we always need the Lord, an awareness of how we need the Lord. You see, we need to be so fulfilled by God. Our fulfillment, as long as it comes from God, then we won't just sell it short. You know, we've all got things, we've all got circumstances, we've all got situations that if this would just be taken care of, then everything would be all right. I just need this one thing. And so if that one thing becomes the thing, then guess what? That one thing has inched its way up above God. Jordan came to visit with his two precious girls, my princess Victoria and Jennifer. And he brought them to us, and that's really good. And Jordan's a two-job guy now, and one of his jobs is he's a C-something of a startup, CFO, COO. He's the chief. Anyway, it's a startup, you know. And so, you know, that startup, if that startup takes off, you know, startup companies, they're big bucks, you know. But I'm not going to plan my retirement on Jordan getting that startup. You know? I'm not planning on him for that. And he shouldn't be planning on that either. But it's a big deal. And I certainly pray that it does for his sake, my grandchildren. Now, Jenny told me that we're not praying for children this time, so I'm not praying for children this time, but I'm planning for children. But you know, anything that we put above, because if we've got something that is not happening, then we want that to happen, and basically what we do is we're trading our trust in God for that thing. Because it somehow has gotten beyond God's ability. We aren't seeing it yet, so it just is ever before us. But what we need to do is put God before that. So then the question that came to me as I'm reading my Bible, what thing would I trade my relationship with Jesus for? Now, if it's put to us that way and we're a Christian, we would say nothing. I wouldn't trade what I have with Jesus for anything. And yet, I think that we have times, we have circumstances, we have situations in our lives where we unwittingly and unaware trade that relationship for those things. And so by getting our hearts and our minds on Jesus, then we are made aware of, am I doing that? Are there things, or you know, that I'm trading that for? What, when I step out of character, when I step out of confidence, when I step out of faith, last night, when you're a visitor, I got to talk about you, Jordan. But last night, Jordan and Jenny were talking about a quick little child that managed to go off of the counter in a moment. Now, we all know how quick kids can move, right? We all can, you know. But, you know, you can be free from that. You don't need to feel guilty until you're, you know, 50. About that one little time. I remember taking you in a... We didn't have quite such fancy car seats. You know, those little plastic rockers that you could lock into a car seat that probably if the kid slipped would have strangled them. But that's what we had, you know. And I can remember that I set it on the top of the car once to get something out and shut the door. And when I went to grab it, I grabbed it and it was going the wrong way. And so I had the car seat in one hand and I caught Jordan before he hit the ground, you know. And it was before he hit the ground. I'm not making that up. I did catch him before he hit the ground. But, you know, a slick winter suit, a plastic thing, you know. He was out of it, you know. But you know, we can just become overwhelmed with thoughts about that, and then we become fearful, and so then we forget that perfect love has cast out fear, and we forget that God is for us, and we forget that God is doing something, and we forget that God can handle it. You know, we don't mean to, but we do. We forget it. That's how people let the past rob them of a future. For whatever reason, something that happened to them, something that someone said to them, something that they did. You know, I mean, some people are not sure that they can be forgiven because something has become so big in their head and in their mind, and if they'll just believe God. Just go ahead and take it. Just take what God says, you know. And then we can let that die, and we can die in peace to that. And then we go on. You see, Jesus was born. It's a fact. And he was born according to the prophecies. It's a fact. And so, that's true, and so then everything else is true as well. It's all true. And as Christians, we can lock into the fact that it's true. We must. We must, because it's the solution. He's all we need. He's all we've ever wanted. He really is. He's the fulfillment of all of those things that would try to displace him. Sometimes people, they think, you know, that, well, they've got to get their life straightened up before they can come to Jesus. They can't get their life straight enough to come to Jesus. Because if we get our life straight enough to come to Jesus, then we don't need Jesus. And then some people can't forgive themselves for something, but if we can't forgive ourselves, how can we trust Jesus that he's forgiven us? And so, how many ever times Simeon went to the temple that day he saw? That day he made a declaration that I can now die in peace. I've seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He's a light to reveal God to the nations. He's the glory of your people, Israel. He's still the light to reveal God to the nations. So we can take this space in time. This time when yes, we do. We know what everybody else needs to know. We know. We have seen his salvation. We know these things, but it's a good opportunity for us to remind ourselves what we know. Because this season does its best to blank out what we know. We get so busy because we can do so much. Or we get so busy being discouraged because we can't do as much. We got things coming from every manner. We're surrounded by doubts and concerns and fears, or surrounded by so much activity that we need to look up. We need to let God know how much we appreciate Him. We need to let God know that we know that nothing's impossible with Him. And maybe as we do that, when we're telling Him nothing's impossible for you, the Holy Spirit might just point out to us what we've put in the impossible box. He might just say, what about this? You know how He does that thing sometimes. He brings up things. They just sort of pop up, and sometimes we think, I wonder if that was God, and sometimes we think, that just must be me. It probably was God. It's the Spirit of God just saying, you know, since you're trusting me, how about trusting me with this? Since you believe me, how about believing me for this? How about just laying that right at my feet? Simeon, I don't know how long he lived after he saw the child. But I suspect that every opportunity that he had from that moment on until he actually died, he was telling people, I saw him. I saw him. Remember, I told you that the Lord told me I wouldn't die without seeing him. Or maybe he treasured that thought in his heart. Maybe he was hesitant to tell people about what God told him. You know, there's a lot of things that, you know, you see these things come up and somebody's deciding what day Jesus is coming back and you wish they'd have just kept it to themselves. You know, you wish they'd have read the Bible so that they would realize that Jesus said nobody knows. You wish that they weren't somehow thinking that they got a word that Jesus didn't get. Because you have to end up a lot of times doing damage control with other people when this person comes up, you know. Right now there's a big to-do with Christianity Today. Wrote a letter and said that the president should be impeached. And Christianity Today was invoking the name of Billy Graham because Billy Graham began it. And so Franklin Graham, he came out and said, you know what, this is just wrong. I've never told anybody about how my dad voted or how my dad thought, but because of this, I need to let you know. My dad voted for the president. He believed that the president was the person for such a time as this, and these people are wrong. But they're using their magazine, and they're using Christianity Today, and they think that they've changed something. And you know that a multitude of people who never pay any attention to anything Christian are jumping on that bandwagon. See, a famous Christian magazine. We need to be cautious about what bandwagon we jump on. You know? But whatever the case might be, Simeon knew what he saw when he saw it. And when we have known the presence of God, we know what we know. Your presence, Lord. It's all I need. It's all I want. It's all I seek. I want to remember to exalt the Lord. I want to remember to give Him the praise and give Him the honor and give Him the glory. I want to remember to declare to Him, I trust You. When I saw the deer alongside the road, it's the only one that I saw. And I was very thankful that I saw him and he wasn't going anywhere. And that wasn't for any other reason than God. To Him be the glory. And if He jumped out in front of me and I hit Him, so what? God is good. See, God is always good. To those who know Him and love Him, He's always good. He cannot fail. That's what we declare. That's what we stand on. He can't fail. He sees us through. Other people can drive through the fog. That's fine. That's good. But we're going to give God to the glory. We're going to give Him the praise. We're going to give Him the honor. We're going to say how wonderful He is. And if people think it's foolish to give God praise and give God glory and give God honor, we're going to pray for them. Because God's waiting for them. He's waiting for them. Because the Lord will return. But right now we're celebrating that He's come and that He's here, that He's for us. And we're confident in our waiting. We're confident in our waiting for those things that we've prayed for. We're confident in our waiting for the return of the Lord. We're confident that God is working even when we can't see it, even when we can't feel it. I know God's working. Because this is the confidence we have. The birth of Jesus should jump up our confidence. The reminder, the amazing Lord. See, whatever thing we can use to stir us up, we need to use. Because we stir yourself up. That's what Paul said. Timothy, stir yourself up. I sense that you have settled to the bottom of the glass, Timothy. Stir yourself up. You know, if you find yourself settling, just stir yourself up. Don't beat yourself up. Sometimes that's what happens. Christians beat themselves up. You know, they beat themselves up over things. Beat themselves up. I haven't read my Bible enough. Beat themselves up. I haven't prayed enough. Hey, start cheering if you realize that. Stir yourself up. Stir, you know, when my generation, when we were kids, the sugar was in the Kool-Aid. It just needed to be stirred up sometimes. You know, need to be shook up. You get an orange juice and you take the top off and the stuff can be settled and it don't taste right. Put the cap back on. Shake it up. Shake yourselves up. Father, that's what we're praying today. We pray you just stir us up, Lord. Become stirrable. No matter what, Lord. No matter what. We can always draw nearer. We can always be more, because zeal for your house should consume us. That's what the word says to Jesus. Zeal for your house is consuming. Because if we stay stirred up and we stay running, pressing toward the mark for the prize, your word says we'll never be disappointed. So right now, Lord, we give you our disappointments. We give you our doubts. We give you our failures. And we receive from you a willing spirit to sustain us. In the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. The grace and the peace of the Lord be with you. Have a Merry Christmas. Celebrate Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.